created thing in this universe is a material product of the three modes of nature. The subject to sensory perception is essentially unreal. Actually, the designations of good and bad that we assign to the various objects and activities of this world are all superficial. It is better to avoid condemning or praising anything of this world, because doing so simply entangles one in matter and deprives one of the higher goals of spiritual life. Hidden within every object of the material universe is a spirit soul who underlies both the causes and products of manifest existence. One should see things in this light and thus move about the material world in a mood of perception. As long as there is a relationship between the bodily senses, which are comprised of matter, and the soul, which is reality, one will continue in false consciousness. Although material existence is unreal, those who lack discrimination remain entangled in the cycle of birth and death because of their absorption in sense gratification. All the phases of material life, such as birth, death, sorrow, and happiness, belong not to the soul, but to the materialistic false ego. By learning to distinguish between the soul and its opposite, matter, one can destroy this false identification. There is a single absolute truth present at the beginning and the end of this world. During its interim or maintenance phase, the cosmic manifestation is also founded upon the same absolute truth. This absolute Brahman exists everywhere, both positively by its manifestations and negatively by its aloofness. Brahman is unique in being self-sufficient, whereas the world is expansion of Brahman produced through the material mode of fashion. By the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master, one can understand the absolute truth and come to appreciate the non-spiritual nature of the material body and its extensions. Desisting from engagement in material sense enjoyment, one becomes satisfied in the ecstasy of the self. Just as the sun remains untouched by the coming and going of the clouds, the discriminating, liberated person remains unaffected by the activities of his senses. Nevertheless, until one becomes fervently fixed in bhakti yoga, pure devotional service of the Supreme Lord, one should carefully avoid contacting material sense objects. An aspiring devotee may meet various obstacles and fall down, but in his next life he will continue his practice by dint of what he has already accomplished in devotional service. He will never again become bound up by the laws of karma. The man who is liberated and established in discrimination will under no circumstances seek false enjoyment by indulging in material sense gratification. He knows that the soul is changeless and that any contrary conception imposed on the pure self is sheer illusion. If during the immature stage of the spiritual practice one suffers physical disease or other disturbances, the Vedas enjoin that he should certainly take proper measures to eradicate the problem. The prescribed remedies for lust and other enemies of the mind are meditation on the Supreme Lord and Sankirtan, the loud chanting of his names. The remedy for the disease of false ego is rendering service to the Supreme Lord's saintly devotees. By practicing yoga, some non-devotees keep their bodies youthful and fit and may even achieve mystic perfections or long life. But these attainments are actually worthless because they are perfection only of the material body. An intelligent person is therefore uninterested in this kind of process. Rather, by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, an aspiring devotee who is seriously dedicated to the Lord rids himself of all disturbances and becomes empowered to attain the highest perfection, the full bliss of spiritual life. So, text number one. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Parasvabhava Karmani Na Prasamsin Na Garhayet Vishvam Ekatmakam Pasyan Prakritya Purushena Cha. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Parasvabhava Karmani Na Prasamsin Na Garhayet Vishwamekatmakam Pasyan Prakritya Purushena Cha.
Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
Supreme
Para anyone else's svabhava, nature, karmani, and activities. Na prasamsit. One should not praise. Nagar hayet. One should not criticize. Vishvam, the world. Eka atmakam. Based on one reality. Pashyan, seeing. Prakritya, along with nature. Purushena, with the enjoying soul. Cha, also. Translation, the Supreme Personality of God has said, one should neither praise nor criticize the conditioned nature and activities of other persons. Rather, one should see this world as simply the combination of material nature and the enjoying souls, all based on the one absolute truth. Translation, please repeat. The Supreme Personality of God had said, one should neither praise nor criticize the conditioned nature and activities of others. Rather, one should see this world as simply the combination of material nature and the enjoying souls, all based on the same absolute truth. Purport. Material situations and activities appear to be good, passionate, or ignorant according to the interactions of the modes of nature. These modes are produced by the illusory potency of the Lord, which itself is not different from its Master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the devotee of the Lord remains aloof from the illusory temporary manifestation of material nature. At the same time, he accepts material nature as the potency of the Lord, and thus essentially real. The example may be given that modeling clay is shaped by a child into various playful forms, such as tigers, men, or houses. The modeling clay is real, whereas the temporary shapes it assumes are illusory, not being actual tigers, men, or houses. Similarly, the entire causing manifestation is modeling clay in the hands of the Supreme Lord, who acts through Maya to shape the glaring temporary forms of illusion, which absorb the minds of those who are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Parasvabhava Karmani, Na Prasamsena Karayet, Vishwamekatmakam Pashyan, Prakritya Purushena Cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, one should neither praise nor criticize the conditioned nature activities of other persons. Rather, one should see this world as simply the combination of material nature and the enjoying souls, all based on the one absolute truth. Timarandasya Gananangana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militandena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Sarvarandigam Aradanas Trinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Sri Marupa Padam Bhujo Tulisyam Janma Janmini Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance. My spiritual masters opened my eyes, the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. So I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So after describing the process of deity worship, now the Lord is giving a brief description of Jnana Yoga, how one analyzes this material nature to finally come to the point of understanding that the spirit soul is our real identity, and that is different from matter. So here he begins by saying that one should neither praise nor criticize the conditioned nature and activities of other persons. Just like I remember we were in Los Angeles one time, and there was Prabhupada was giving lecture. I can't exactly remember what the topic was, but he described that there was a caravan traveling through the desert. Now in the desert, the sun is very hot and the air is very dry. So caravan means there's so many camels. And those camels were passing stool. So the top part of the stool, because it was in the sun and exposed to the very dry air, it immediately dried out. Whereas the bottom part remained moist and sticky. He says, so somebody said the top of the stool is better than the bottom. The Prabhupada said he is talking about stool. What is the question of good stool or bad stool? It is all stool. So similarly, sometimes we may talk about this material world, that's very nice, that's very ugly, that's very pretty, but it is all material, ultimately. Just like we discussed about the rose, Prabhupada said, this rose is very nice, but the rose in the spiritual world, it is eternal. So here, things may appear to be very beautiful, but the next moment they can deteriorate. It's like the rose is very beautiful. But after some time, all the petals begin to fall off. If we keep all those petals, then after a while they'll become moldy and rotten. So everything in this world is in constant change. And all the forms we see, they do not remain. Therefore in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna describes, he said, the learned have that of the existence there is no cessation, of the non-existence there is no duration. Of the existent there is no cessation, of the non-existent there is no duration. So we see even this body, it is not durable, it only remains for some time. And even it never remains exactly the same. Just like we have seen that once we had a little baby's body that our mother was holding in her arms. Now she cannot hold us in the arms. She will break her back. That body has changed. Although I'm still feeling that I'm the same. I'm the same person. But that body has changed. Gradually that little baby body developed into a small child who begins to walk here and there. And then gradually develops even more, and then he begins to run, he begins to climb trees, do so many things. And at the same time, even the mind is changing. Just like when we're small boys, we like to climb trees and catch lizards and catch frogs, and we thought, oh, girls, why, they are the most useless thing in the universe. Then, when we got a little older, then we were interested in, we no longer interested in climbing trees or catching frogs. We like to have a nice car, and we spend all day polishing our car and painting. And then before, we thought girls were a very useless thing. Like, oh, now that's a very nice thing. Our mind has changed. Even the mind has changed. And eventually, the body finally starts to become wrinkled at all. We're thinking, when we're young, we're thinking, oh, life will just go on like this. But now we're seeing that everything is starting to break down. And we see, all of us are in the line. Almost every month we're hearing another God brother or God sister has left this world. So this body is constantly changing. So it has no duration. So in that sense, it is unreal. It says that the non-existent, there is no duration. So this body, it exists temporarily. Because this, even this material nature is part of Krishna's energy. But it doesn't, these forms in this world, they don't remain eternally. They eventually deteriorate and break apart. So in this way we have to analyze this material nature, that something is constantly changing, this body is constantly changing, But somehow or other, I look in the mirror every day and I say, well, that's me. But that me has changed. But something is there that is constant. That is the spirit soul. That spirit soul, he never changes. Of the existence, there is no cessation. He never ceases to be. Throughout all these different bodies, that same consciousness, that's me, is there. But that me that I'm seeing in the mirror, he's changing all the time. Before we were thinking, oh, the very beautiful and nice hair, now the hair is turning white and thinning out, and so many wrinkles are coming. If we see one of the biggest industries in the world is the cosmetic industry. Nobody wants that those wrinkles should come and those little spots should come on the skin. Now it's getting old. So some of the biggest injuries in the world, just like I remember one time, all of the wives of the people who worked in the German embassy came to Vrindavan one time. So they called me into the president's office and said, can you show these ladies around? So most of them were German, some of them were actually from Switzerland. And they were very nice. Before we got in the car, they would smoke all their cigarettes, and we get in the car, we drive to some place, then they get out of the car, smoke their cigarettes, and we go see some temple or some place, then they come back, smoke their cigarettes, and while we're driving, they were kind to me. They wouldn't smoke in the car with me, so we were doing like this. And at some point I realized that they're all about the same age as myself. And eventually I took them to, where is it, Kusum Sarovar. Then, Kusum Sarovar is a very wonderful place. So anyway, I commented that that you ladies, somehow or other, I have so many gray hairs. I said, hey, we all dye our hair. Yeah? So this is another thing. Yeah? We don't want to see all these changes, so we dye our hair, we put different creams. Because we don't want this old age to come. But old age is coming. So this body has no duration, but that consciousness which pervades the body has no cessation. So here we're going to discuss all of these things in very philosophical ways. Nice example here. Just like the clay is real, but the forms, we make men, we make tigers, we make houses, those forms are existing for some time, they again becomes remodeled. So this way, this material nature, it is actually energy of Krishna. So we cannot say that it is unreal, but the illusion, the only illusion is that I'm identifying with this material body. And identifying that this thing is good and that thing is bad. But it is all material, so it is all bad. Even if one goes up to the higher planets, one may say, oh, that's very nice, let us go to the higher planets, there is enjoyment. But eventually, you put your credit card in the ATM machine and the sun says, balance finished. Then, padanti edho, again comes back down. We can come back down to this marcha loka. We may live very long and we may have so much enjoyment, but eventually our balance runs out. Then we have to come back down. So ultimately it is all material. So we may think, oh, swarga is very nice and hell is very bad, but it is all material. So in one sense, it is unreal in that it doesn't remain. And the illusion is not that this body is an illusion. The illusion is that I'm identifying myself as this body. That is the illusion. The body itself, I'm experiencing it. I cannot say that it is not real. Just like at night, we dream that, oh, I become a king and I'm ruling. Or I'm falling off a cliff, you know. Or a tiger is chasing me. So I cannot say that it is unreal, because I wake up and, oh, what was that? So I'm actually experiencing something, but that experience is temporary. So we're actually experiencing this body, but we may think that it is a very long time, but it is just a snap. This puny little life is just a snap in comparison to time eternal. So it is just a temporary manifestation. So we cannot say that it is unreal, but we can say that the unreal thing is that I'm identifying that I am this body. And we see the living entity takes so many different types of bodies, 8,400,000 different types of bodies, and even amongst them, there's so many different varieties. Just like other day I was complaining to Aniruddha that I've been here for a week, I didn't see a kangaroo. He said, well, when you go to such and such place, then you can see kangaroos and wallabies and wallaroos. And I said, what's that? He said, there's different types of, because being a Yankee, we just think, well, there's just kangaroos, but actually there's kangaroos and there's wallaroos and there's wallabies, they're all different types of kangaroos. We just thought they're just one type, but there's so many, even kangaroos, so many different types. So there's so many varieties of bodies in this material world. But all of those bodies are only running because there's an eternal spirit soul dwelling within them. So gradually, philosophically, we're going to, throughout this chapter, discuss this point in so many, from different points of view, so that eventually we can come to the conclusion that there's not, we're thinking, well, this is very nice, but this material world is all material. So there's no question. Here's this idea of prasansena, something glorifiable, or garhi, something criticizable. Everything in this world is material. It will finish. It will not remain. Therefore, in this purport is saying, the devotees of the Lord, they gradually, by studying, that's why we have these classes. Sometimes they say, well, we're just hearing the same thing over and over again. But we see this material energy, as I was discussing on the introduction, that sometimes the devotee, he becomes bewildered. And he falls from the path of devotional service. But again, he will come back, because that is eternally his benefit. So, this material energy is very strong, therefore we have to hear it over and over again. And finally, one day, we'll finally realize, hey, what am I doing? We have to hear again and again, just like a small child, he sees his mother's got a very shiny thing and little clouds are coming out of it, and she's ironing all the cloth. It looks very shiny and very nice. So he wants to go and touch it. So the mother says, no, hot burn. But as soon as the phone rings and he goes to answer the phone, then he immediately goes there, he puts his hand, and then all of a sudden, Then he sees in the kitchen, there's a beautiful little flower, on top of the stove, and he goes to touch him with his hot burn, And then as soon as she turns her back, he puts his hand in. So eventually it sinks in, that whenever mother says hot burn, I will get that sensation again. That I get every time she says don't touch, hot burn. And when she says that, then if I do touch it, I will get that same sensation again. So eventually, spiritual master is telling us over and over again, don't try to enjoy this material world. Hot burn. So eventually, it's like the child, eventually it sinks in. So we have to hear it again and again. Eventually it will sink in that if I try to enjoy this material world, I'm just going to get burned. Eventually it sinks in. Especially in Kali Yuga, our brains are very dull. So again and again, and from different points of view, we're going to, throughout this chapter, try to understand the temporary nature of this material world, the eternal nature of the soul, and that we should endeavor for devotional service of the Lord, because that is eternal. The devotional service of the Lord is an eternal activity. Even when this body finishes, we go back to Godhead, we'll still be, now we're stringing garlands or cooking nice preparations for Krishna. Same thing we'll be doing in the spiritual world. Now the Mayavadi philosophers, they say this world is false. But that is like insulting Krishna. Just like if we see a painting and we say, oh, this is bogus painting. So we're insulting the artist. This material nature is part of Krishna's energy. And so we cannot say it is false. But all the different manifestations of this material nature are temporary. Just like you give the example of clay. The clay, sometimes a tiger, sometimes a house, sometimes a man. It's constantly changing, constantly changing. So we have to get this thing drummed into our head again and again and again and again so that we can finally come to the conclusion that the only real enjoyment in this world is serving Krishna. So we become more and more serious about engaging in devotional service and giving up sense gratificatory activities, and not the devotional service is suffering either. That we discussed the other day. Prabhupada said this is enjoyment like a human being. Chanting and dancing Hare Krishna, discussing this nice philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is all enjoyable. This is enjoyment like a human being. So now that we've come to this human form of life, for this whole chapter here is meant for us to utilize our intelligence to try to understand the nature of this world, the nature of the spiritual world, and make that choice that I want to get spiritual life. I want to get out of this material world and get spiritual life. So we're going to study from different angles in this chapter so that we can make a proper decision and we can become convinced that there's nothing in this material world that even the luckily even the suffering, sometimes we're just suffering and we just think, but even that suffering is also, luckily that suffering is also temporary. Just go on. It's like here, what does it say? Sometimes one is in, what was that? Maybe it was over here. If during the immature stage of spiritual practice one suffers physical disease or other disturbances, the Vedas enjoin that you should certainly take proper measures to eradicate the problem. The prescribed remedies for lust and other enemies of the mind are meditating on the Supreme Lord and Sankirtan, the loud chanting of His names. So we may be disturbed by all these things, but we just have to go on chanting and performing our devotional service. And this is the main thing, this chanting. And the remedy for the disease of false ego is rendering service to the Supreme Lord's saintly devotees. Just like one time, Dr. Stilson Judah, who wrote this book, Hare Krishna and the Counterculture, and he was a professor of religion in the University of California at Berkeley, a very famous place. We also call it Berserkly. He was the president of the Theological Union at that university. So he was very favorable to Krishna consciousness and appreciated Prabhupada very much. So one time, I just happened to be in L.A. I was president of Portland, but somehow I was down in L.A. and Dr. Judah came one time to visit Prabhupada there. So he came on the morning walk, and I remember, since he's dealing with religion, so then he asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, how do you deal with the question of lust? He says, because every religion has to deal with this question. And Prabhupada stopped it, dug his cane in the sand. He said, unless you become Krishna conscious, there's no solution. And then he walked it further. He said, you must become fully Krishna conscious. Otherwise, there's no other solution to this question of lust. Because this is the hardest one for us to overcome. Our senses are always bothering us in so many ways. The Prabhupada said, you have to become fully Krishna conscious. We have to take very seriously our chanting, become fully Krishna conscious. That doesn't mean, just like here says, we take adequate measures. And just like we see, young devotees, they take up a little bit fanatical positions. But that is like when we have a young tree, then we put a little fence around it to protect it. There's some animal may come and eat it. So we see all the young devotees, they make their little fences. Oh, women are nonsense, the householders are all in Maya, this, that, you know. That's all right, that's also necessary. We have to have a fence. But if we just make a fence around our tree and we don't put any water, the tree's going to die. So these things are helpful in the beginning. We give up eating sweets, we're thinking, oh, they're all nonsense and householders are all in Maya. That's all to help. Our devotional creeper is very, very tender. We have to protect it, and you shouldn't feel bad that the brahmacharis think like that. This is just, but unless they become absorbed in chanting the holy name, unless you give some, just putting the fence isn't going to, that will protect the plant, but that's not going to nourish the plant. We always see, I've been in Krishna consciousness for a long time, that person who's always complaining the most, he's the first one to raise the white flag of surrender, you know. And that person we see, he's never criticizing anyone, he's just doing his service and very sincerely chanting and just always absorbed in service, and year after year we see him wearing saffron. That person who complains the most, next thing we know, he's the first one to raise the white flag. And that person, because these all things will help you, you know. In the beginning we need these little fences, but that fence is just something to protect. The real point is to nourish that creeper, so we have to become absorbed. Prabhupada told Dr. Judith, there's no other solution other than to become Krishna conscious. You have to become completely absorbed in chanting. That is the only thing that will save us. Hare Krishna. So we have to end early because we have to get ready to go. So, questions? There's a quick question. Yes? Well, that would take 3 hours. Because I didn't meet Prabhupada, I met the devotees that I've been telling all along. How I met Bhavananda. Told him, oh, Bhavananda, aren't we all God? He said, oh, you are God, and how you have forgotten. Isn't all talking nonsense? He said, yes, unless you're chanting. We're talking about Krishna. So then I was very relieved because I wasn't going to stop talking, so I can talk about Krishna. So then finally they sent me to LA to get initiated, then I met Prabhupada. That day is coming up. January 25th, 1970, so just around the corner, my spiritual birthday. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.